This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
We're still in the series of practices for prosperity. So I wanted to start today by asking what prosperity means. What if people just say one or two words that come to their mind when they think of prosperity? I'm sure you all know what it means. Sorry? Wealth, yeah? Prosperity? Abundance, yeah? Yes, financial security, very good, yeah? Enough and to give, good.
Doing well.
Doing well, very good. Did you look in the dictionary? Because I did. And the synonyms I found were wealth, success, profitability, affluence, riches, opulence, the good life, good fortune, ease, plenty, welfare, comfort, well-being, to flourish, doing well, thriving, buoyant, productive, fruitful, expanding. We'll agree that those are all good words. Those are all things we want, isn't it? I know we're very British, and British people like to say, I don't want to be rich. I just want to have enough, just a good house to live in and enough to give. That's fine. If that's what you want, that's great. Well, based on great expectations, if you decide I want to have enough to feed a village in Africa or enough to feed the whole of Africa or enough to sponsor the NHS, that's also great. You know, expectations really matter, but we all agree that prosperity is something that we want, isn't it? And I also found in Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 16, if you can open to that, please. Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 16. It says, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands. His commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy." So from that, I can see that prosperity is also a choice. So you do have a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. And there are things to do. So it's not necessarily just praying and wishing for prosperity. There are things to do. That's why I thank God for this church, that we know, first of all, that there are practices for prosperity. It's not just prayers for prosperity. There are practices for prosperity. There are things we need to be doing in our own lives. And I thank God also that I'm speaking to prosperous people, because really we can see the abundance of God in this place. We can see that we're doing well. We can see the fullness of life that God has for us in this place. And this is a message that I'm sharing because this is what God laid on my heart when I was praying about what to share today. And that's something that God also has been talking to me about. But I'll just ask you to be encouraged if it's something you're already doing. And if there's something in it that you think, I need to think about this, or I need to change in this way, you know, feel free to take from that. But it's a message that's going to have a bit of everything for somebody. So I just pray that you do find something to be blessed by in this message. Hosea 4:6 says, "People are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I remember the secondary school I went to, it's not here, it's in Nigeria, the motto was discipline and knowledge. And that really stuck with me. I know they're not the most important things in life. There's love, there's giving, there's so many other things. But discipline and knowledge, that really stuck with me. Lack of knowledge. Everybody goes to school to learn, to gain knowledge. Or should I say most people? Some people are there for other things. But yeah, you go to school mostly to learn. And that knowledge you get from a school. Discipline, some people hear that word and you just think, oh no, oh no. And, you know, it's true. There are parts of discipline that do not sound fun. So I decided to look in the dictionary and actually see. You can tell I've spent a lot of time in the dictionary this week, haven't you? So the definitions for discipline that I found, because that was the main thing that I felt I should be talking about today, were using punishment to correct disobedience. So that is actually a definition for discipline. That's the one that people don't really like. The second one was the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior. So that's the one we think about when we think about our children. And the third one was a branch of knowledge, typically one studied in higher education. So when you ask somebody, what's your discipline or what's your profession? So that's the kind of one we're talking about. But I think today when I talk about discipline, it's a bit of all of it. Because we are disciples of Jesus. That means automatically we should have some discipline. And we are children of a good father. Our father is a good God and he still disciplines us. As much as we like to talk about God is gracious, God is loving, he does still discipline us. And as Balade said last time he spoke about Job, it's not our place to look at somebody having tough times and be thinking, oh, I bet God is disciplining him at the moment. That's not our place to do. We just need to encourage people and love them. But personally, in our own lives, we need to be aware that there are some times that God is actually disciplining us. He lets us go through things to learn something. If God lets you fail an important exam, for example, to learn how to manage your time better, to learn how to study hard and, you know, be sensible, then you need to learn that quickly rather than going back to do the exam again with the same bad methods you used last time, failing the exam, writing wrong answers, expecting God to do a miracle with the wrong answers. Sometimes God is teaching us a lesson, and the sooner we learn it, the better, and we can move on. There's no need to keep repeating the same classes over and over again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11 says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure his divine discipline, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." I'm actually glad that the Bible acknowledges that the discipline is painful. That's quite comforting. It is. It's not a nice thing to go through. I've had my share. I'm sure all of you have had your share of things that you thought, oh, God, you could have just done a miracle and got me out of that situation. But he let us go through stuff to learn something. And that's what makes us the mature Christians that we want to be more like Jesus. One of my father's favorite verses when I was growing up was in Proverbs 19:3. Some of you might know this. It says, "People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord." I used to find that quite funny. Because he would say it, especially when you do something really stupid. And he'd be like, "This is how people end up messing up their own lives." And then they'll say, "God didn't bless me." Some things we do to ourselves. And we need to learn that God is more interested in our growth, in our spiritual maturity, than in us having the money that we're hoping for or the qualification we're hoping for, whatever it was. God really is interested in our growth and he wants us to be more like Jesus because we are called to be disciples of Jesus. Another one I found while I was preparing for this was said actually about the wicked in Proverbs 5:23. "For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly." We don't want to be people of foolishness. We want to be people that are wise and understand what God is saying at the right time. And I pray that God helps us to be wise. So that's that area of discipline I've just spoken about. We'll move on to the other one, which is actually the main aspect of discipline I wanted to talk about today. It's self-discipline. And you could say integrity, you could say diligence, you could say being steadfast, being consistent, but it's self-discipline where it's not somebody else disciplining you, it's you choosing to be disciplined. And I found a definition for self-discipline which says, "The ability to control one's feelings and overcome one's weaknesses." So this is actually the definition. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So God has actually given us a spirit of self-discipline. So it's not that we're trying to do it in our own power. It's us being in line with God, what God wants. And when we talk about prosperity, it's also about us thinking, okay, what is the prosperity that God has for me? What is it physical? In the physical way, what does that mean? Is it good health? Does it mean me trying to keep fit and be well and look after the body he's given me? Is it my soul, me learning and improving myself, making the most of my potentials in life and being the best I can be? Is it my spirit? Is it about me having that peace and joy that comes from above? Is it in me having that abundant love and grace that I can share and always be a blessing and an encouragement wherever I go? So just thinking about what does that prosperity mean and what exactly it is I'm trying to achieve. And then the self-discipline is trying to make our lives align with that prosperity that God has already given us, because he has given us that spirit already. I would rather choose to be self-disciplined than wait for situations that make me regret not having that self-discipline. That's what I've realized. I don't want to be in a situation where I think, oh, if I had just learned to do this. Because it is hard when you're in a situation that forces you to do that. There are times financially where you get to a place where you just think, oh, now I have to learn to eat those cheap chips that I've always looked down on. Whereas if you manage the money wisely, you will actually eat them with joy, knowing I'm actually saving for something proper, because I'm doing it out of choice. I don't have to eat cheap chips. I don't have to drive a rubbish car. I'm doing it out of choice because I'm disciplining myself. We don't want to be people that are tossed and turned by the wind of feelings, circumstances, culture, whatever is happening around us. We need to have a solid foundation. There's an old hymn that says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And that's that, knowing we have a solid foundation. We're predictable people. You don't want to be people that somebody will think, oh, maybe if I come today, she might not be in a very good mood and she might do this. Or if somebody, I might not be able to bring my friend around today because I don't know what mood my husband's in or whatever. People should know that, you know, whatever circumstance it is, you will be nice, you will be friendly, you will be caring, you will be understanding, because it's not dependent on the weather, it's not dependent on the mood. You are a Christian, you're a child of God, you have self-discipline. There are things we have to choose to do. It's not necessarily because, oh yeah, God is merciful and he understands, please, I'm not in the mood for this Christianity today. No. We have to be people that make that choice. It is a choice. I heard a joke a while ago that said, if you can make yourself smile when your pastor knocks on your door, then surely you can get yourself in a good mood when you come back home and you're tired from work and make yourself be in a good mood to talk to your wife and your children nicely. Because it's true. You'll see some people finish shouting at their wife and everything. Pastor opens the door. Oh, wow, hello. How are you? And you're thinking, if you can do that, then you can control yourself and be nice to your children and be nice to your wife. God talks to me about this all the time. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not there. But it is something we need to be aware of, because it is a choice. Everything is a choice. And all these things we're doing, it's not just about trying to be good and look nice. It's also because when we form these self-discipline and these habits, these good habits around us, they'll see us through the tough times when things are not so good, when things are not so predictable, having those solid foundations in our lives. So coming to church, for example, coming to fellowship, it's not a requirement for going to heaven. Some people tell me they go to internet church, sit at home and watch TV. I don't think that you have to actually take yourself every Sunday to church for you to go to heaven. But these are practices that you set up in your life to protect you, because then you're surrounding yourself with godly people. You are surrounding yourself with encouragement, so that when the tough times come in life, you have those practices already set there that will protect you, so that a bad day does not turn into a bad month and a bad year, so that you're always protected by the things you've set around you. Even if it is reading your Bible every day, you won't go to hell if you don't read your Bible every day, but doing certain things will protect you, so that before the devil has a chance to start saying rubbish to you continuously, you've had more chances to fill your mind with the Word of God. And filling your mind with the Word of God also helps you in the day of adversity, because when you filled your heart with the Word of God, those are the things that will come out when you're stressed. People say when you squeeze a bottle tight, it's what's inside that will come out. If you're full of, I don't know, God knows whatever else people fill themselves with. If you're full of whatever it is, then that's what will come out. But if you fill yourself with God, the Word of God, then whatever comes at you, you go, no weapon fashioned against me will prosper. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. This is not my portion. I am a daughter of the King, because you know it. It's in you. It's just your natural reaction to come out, because you formed those disciplines over time. I also wanted to say about prosperity in the wealth side of things. Those wealthy men of the Bible, Abraham, David, Job, I'm sure people around them, they're not just thinking, oh, it's just a lazy, lucky man that was rich. No, God blesses us already, but I'm sure they set practices in their lives to manage and invest all those things wisely so that they could live in the blessing that God had already provided. So really, even if we're thinking, well, I'm just happy to be the way I am, that's fine, but it's about learning to manage the things that we have and knowing that even that is a blessing from God so that we're not just living life, oh, whatever happens. There are practices. So a lot of these things are intentional. It's all about intentional living rather than just waiting for things to happen and thinking, well, some people are just blessed, some people are not. No, we're all blessed and we do need to walk purposefully, walk in that blessing. Have you ever noticed also that sometimes, even in the secular world, it's the person who's focused and who is consistent, who's always on time, who's always delivering, keeping to their word. That's the person that people will choose to do something and give a promotion and get them to do something that is important. And have you ever heard stories of people who gave their lives to Jesus just because they noticed the consistency and diligence in someone else's life? We never know who's watching. Sometimes we are the Bible that somebody has to read, and that takes self-discipline. You could have days when you think, oh God, I'm just not feeling this right now, you know, and it's not bad, you know. You could decide, please, I'm not in the mood for worship today, actually. I just want to say, and sometimes it might even come out of our mouths where if you've got non-Christian friends, you might say, oh man, this church thing, I don't really feel like it. But if somebody's watching you, they're listening and laughing, but if they're actually watching you, they'll think, so it's a weather thing then. It's not really consistent. But if you're consistent and they see what's going on in your life, you've got so much tribulation, so many things going on that are more than enough excuse for you to sit at home. A very special lady is here with her newborn baby. I have to say, hats off. You know, that's not easy. Because she's valuing that time of fellowship. It's not a pain to come to church. It's not, coming to church is not, oh God, we have to come to church. It's something you do with joy. And our children are watching all these things. People around us are watching. Your neighbors are saying, they're thinking that church must be good for you to drag yourself out of bed to come to church after you've just had a baby. And those are the signals that we're giving around us. And if we want to see Coventry saved, for example, what exactly do we feel that we're doing in our own lives to make that happen? We can easily sit down and say, yeah, you know, as a church, we're going to go and do this. But it starts from us, one by one. I was watching Rob Parsons' video, Wisdom House. It's based on a book he just wrote. And he was telling a story of a boy who was asked the question, what is your dream? And he said what it was. And they said, the person asked, what have you done today to take you closer to that goal? And you think, today, do you have to do something every day? But I've realized it's the things we do every day that make us who we are. It's not necessarily the things you do once a year or once in a while. You could easily sit down at home and say, yeah, I'll go to that massive conference in Canada and bump up my spiritual life and I'll be amazing. No, it's the things you do every day. So most of the people we see and we think, oh, that's a strong Christian, amazing faith, oh, so mature. They're probably the ones that have invested the most time with God and invested most of themselves in what they're doing. So that prosperity, as much as it is a blessing, it is a choice. You decide, I want to prosper in this area. So I just pray that at some point this week or today, we have some time to reflect and just think about things in our lives that we want to prosper in. You know, it could be material, it could be physical, it could be in our spiritual lives. And just think, what exactly am I doing to make that happen? And it's the everyday things. If you've already got the good choices, the good habits in place, then affirm that to yourself. Be intentional about it. It's not because my parents always read their Bibles every day that I'm reading my Bible every day. No, this is on purpose. I'm choosing to do it. Even if it's a verse, I just want to make sure that I'm hearing from God every day. If it's something that you're not doing, it's something you can go home and think about. Okay, I admire this in someone else's life and I think this is amazing. That's a sign of prosperity to me. What am I doing in my own life to make that happen? If it means me, I don't know, staying up later one hour a night to study and do this thing so that I can achieve this other thing, then try and do it, because that's what the self-discipline is about. It's not about waiting and letting things happen to you that make you have to do certain things. We need to be able to make that decision and make our own lives the example of what Jesus talks about, the abundant life. It is by his grace. It's not about condemning ourselves. It's not about legalism and feeling like, oh, I haven't read my Bible today, God. I'm not prosperous. I'm a horrible person. No. But once you've set those things in place in your life, then it makes it so much easier. It doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like you're going out of your way to do these things. It just becomes normal. And your normal life becomes what people see as your Christian life as well. The most important prosperity, though, is your spiritual prosperity. The Bible says in John, 3 John, I think, that only because Baladi said to me, try and make sure you know where things are that you're saying the Bible says from. And I think I checked. It is 3 John. And John said, I wish above all else that you prosper even as your souls prosper. And there's no point in having all the physical prosperity, the wealth and everything that the Bible calls prosperity and not having our souls prosper. So the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you all you need. So as much as we go home and think about all the things we need to do, if you're studying and you think, oh, I need to try and make sure I go to the library every day for 2 hours, or I need to make sure I tidy up my room every day, whatever you want to go and set in place, that's fine. But make sure that the spiritual side of things, that's sorted. Because at the end of the day, that is what really matters. We need to be growing. Tony Ling was saying recently about growing from glory to glory. And we're not just happy to be, we're okay now. At least I'm not too bad. There are people that are worse than me. No, we're children of God. I shouldn't still be the same Christian I was 5 years ago or 2 years ago or last year. We should be growing from glory to glory, getting better and better. Setting habits like Camilla talked about when she was here, Camilla from the Bible School in Cardiff, about giving thanks every day. So even something like that, that does a lot for your spirit. Choosing to be thankful every day. She said she did practically sit down and thank God for 10 things every day. And by the time she started doing it all the time, she realized she had more than 10 things to be thankful for every day. It could be simple things that don't even take up time, but it's about changing even your attitude sometimes so that that becomes the norm. And once we do things a few times, it becomes normal and then you start seeing the fruit of it. It might not come straight away. You might think, oh, I'm doing all this, you know, it's nothing's showing, you know, but that diligence, that consistency, God sees your faithfulness. And there where you are, he will meet you. To finish, I'm just going to read from Galatians 5:13. To the end, actually. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, self-discipline. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Have a blessed week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.